You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Thank you. go to a song called Forever, Forever. Thank you. so much for helping us sing tonight. We hope we got you awake. Here's Brother Leland.
Hey, I tell you what, that was good singing. Maybe y'all sing better when Jackson Street's locked down. I don't know. Maybe that's it. That was good singing. How many are here for the first time? You've never been to Rec Room before. Would you lift your hand? All right, we've got a few. All right, here's what I want to do. We're going to hand you a card. I think we are. Where is my... Oh, okay. Hold your hand up, and he'll be there with the card just in a second. If you will fill that out and drop it in the purple box on the way out when you go out, we would appreciate that. And basically, here's why we ask you to do that. Loops has a newsletter that we mail out every month, and
really good newsletter too.
Anyway, we would like to get that to you, and we kind of let you know what's going on in the Rec Room and with Loops and so forth. And if you're in Clover House, we won't be sending you one because you can pick those up tonight and when we're in Clover House during our classes. We're in all three of them. But if you'll give us that home address you're going to be going to when you get out of there, then we will start mailing it there. Everybody get one? Okay. So just fill it out. Drop it in the purple box on the table as you go out. That purple box has two functions. And the other one is that's the Rec Room Assistance Fund. Now, we don't pass the plate in the rec room. We don't take an offering. But if you would like to help, and that's the key words, if you would like to help a rec room person, then whatever you put in that box will go to help rec room people. Does not go for the ice cream, doesn't go for coffee. It goes to help people who have a need, and those needs have been multiplied and varied over the years that we've done that, and by God's grace, we've always been able to meet them. We have had I think one time this month or last month, one Thursday night, we had the sum total of $5 put in there. That's not too much, is it? But then there's been other nights that it's been amazing that people just giving because they want to give. And let me say this. If you give to God, and I'm not talking about you trying to invest now. Don't come up with, well, okay, now if I give $10, God will give me $15. Now, he doesn't work that way. The reason he doesn't, he sees your heart, see. But if you want, you just can't outgive him. He'll never let you outgive him. So if you want a blessing, then bless somebody else. It's just a law that works that way and comes back that way. Did you like the ice cream sundae? I'm telling you, I didn't realize we had so many different things we could put on them. I think just by watching the way that stuff was going and people going back for the seconds, we might be thankful that Jackson Street was locked down. We might not have could have gone around the second time. Well, because I noticed y'all was packing those bowls pretty full. Get a lot of stuff on them. But anyhow, we're going to try to do something like that. I guess the next thing we'll do, because we keep getting some requests for this and some suggestions about doing another pizza program. There's a pizza party. And so we'll do that within the next 3 months. We'll set up a night to do that and just have a good time with that. But the rec room has a lot of different facets about it. The first one and the foremost one is spiritual. If we feed you, help you get the best job you ever had, if you go back and get more education than you've ever had, and you don't go to heaven, we failed you. So our first approach is going to be spiritual. We want to tell you how you can go to heaven. But with that, sometimes folks are not too interested in hearing about that when they're hungry. Not too interested in hearing about that when they can't meet or pay their rent that month. And so, anyway, we want to try to touch all of that. Whether it be helping you with jobs, the bicycle program that we have, the assistance fund. For those of you that are on parole, even though Project Rio has been closed by the state of Texas, their benefits have not. And so there's still some vocational training out there for you. There's still help. And if you're getting a job within the first year of being released from TDC, your employer can get a pretty good, hefty help financially just for hiring you. We talked about that this week in our classes, to why it's always an advantage to hire somebody on paper over somebody that isn't, especially if you have the same qualifications. And the reason it is that people on paper have another pair of eyes watching them, which is to the advantage of the employer. And so you ought to use that, say, hey, I'm a better risk than the guy that just walked out of here. There's somebody else watching me and knows everything that I do and what's going on. And use that as a selling point. Don't hang your head and say, well, I've been in prison, nobody hire me. I'm going to tell you, in West Texas, if you work, you can get hired. Now, if you don't want to work, and the fact is that you need a job impresses nobody. But if you want to work and are willing to earn, it impresses everybody. Now, anyhow, we're glad you're here tonight. Want you to enjoy it, have a good time with us. Well, I know we got some more music, and then for the next few minutes, the restrooms will be locked up, the ice cream will be locked up, but it will be opened up as soon as we get out of here. And you, as long as we got it back there, you can have it. Okay, thank you for being here.
Well, speaking of heaven tonight, that may be what you call it. Some people call it heaven, but Kathy and I call it home, and that's what we're singing about tonight. Somewhere beyond. on.
Good. Very good, girl. All right. You to turn in your Bibles tonight, if you have one, to the book of John, chapter 2. And if you don't have one and would like to turn to John chapter 2, would you lift your hand and we'll see you get a Bible. I think we will. Yeah. Now, let me say this about these Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, then you keep this Bible as a gift from a rec room. If you have a Bible, you start bringing it. I keep leaving that out every week. See, I see some of you, you lift your hand every week. Get about here. We had another one. Oh, you got yours. All right. Well, I couldn't use that one. I couldn't read. It's too little. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's always got her Bible. I'm gonna tell you. But you keep it. You shouldn't leave home without it. I want you to have a Bible. We're going to talk about a situation in the life of Jesus Christ that occurred three times. I call it stacking tables. Because three times in his life, he went into the temple and scattered people like a mad woman. He scattered the religious crowd. Let me give you the background on that a little bit. To the Jews, the Passover was one of the greatest times of their life when they were delivered from Egypt by Moses, and they kept that day every year. They still keep the Passover, the Jewish people do. Like we keep the 4th of July, our independence that we recognize. They kept the Passover, and God had told them how to do the Passover. And they were to bring a lamb, could be a sheep or could be a goat. They were to keep that lamb up for 4 days to make sure there were no blemishes on that lamb. And then they were to take him in and kill that lamb. And at the first one, they spread the blood on the door of each home so that God would not kill the firstborn in that home. From then on, they just shed the blood. Now, by the time Jesus Christ comes on the scene, things have changed. The nation of Israel is no longer under the nation of Israel. They're under the Roman Empire. And where once everybody had farms and raised animals and raised their crops, all of that, some of it's gone down the drain. Their culture has totally changed. And so, instead of maybe having sheep to be able to bring that lamb to the Passover and kill it, some people had to go buy one. And the temple people saw a good chance to make a buck. Now, religious people are bad about that. They've always got a way to make a buck. And so they started selling inside the temple the lambs and even some doves for the poorest of families and making money changing so that they could have the right amount, because on the 15th day they had to pay some money, all in the old Jewish law that we could spend the evening on and bore you to death with. But they said, look, let us handle that for you. And you can just come here and buy it, and you won't have to go to all that trouble. And the truth of the matter is, this took away any worship out of it whatsoever. See, when somebody raised their own lamb and had to inspect their own lamb and kill their own lamb, people get attached to lambs. Lambs were meeker than dogs. People get attached to their dogs, you know. When I was a kid, dog got sick, you just shot him. Well, you don't do that anymore. You go pay that vet some big dollars so he can shoot you. Or, no. Well, he shoots him with a needle. Let me put it up. So anyway, Jesus is going to his first Passover since he started his ministry. We're in the second chapter of John, and it's in verse 13 is where we're going to start reading. And he said, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, a scourge, you can take my word for it, look it up, doesn't make any difference, but it's a whip. Jesus made a whip. The calm, meek, lowly Jesus makes him a whip. Now, and he drove them. He drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold us, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. I am sure immediately somebody called up and said, this man needs psychiatric help. I'm sure somebody said, Jesus needs counseling. Somebody said, now I cannot believe he's so intolerant. Now, if that was just a one-time act, maybe we could accuse him of that. But I want you now to go, isn't it, to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. We'll go backward to the book of Matthew. And in chapter 21, this is Jesus' last Passover. In fact, at this Passover, he will be crucified. But in Matthew 21 and verse 12, it said, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that bought and sold in the temple. 3 years have passed since the first time this happened. And overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. Here's the second time that he comes in and scatters everything. Turns their tables over. All their animals get away. This is very costly to the people that had the investments in these things. He scatters the money. It's rolling everywhere. I can see a bunch of us down on the floor grabbing it. See? Now, here is Jesus' second time doing this. Now then, most of the time, they say, well, the other account that we're going to read about was just really the same one. But if you look down here, follow with me a little bit further. Verse 17, it said, he left them and went out of the city of Bethany and lodged there. Now, in the morning, he returned into the city. Okay, he spent the night in Bethany. He's going to come back to the city the next morning. He's hungered, and when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing therein but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Now, the reason I want to bring that up is going to give us the time schedule. He has already stacked the tables in the temple. He's gone to Bethany to spend the night, and the next day curses the fig tree. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were gone from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing the fig tree afar off, that's just what we talked about over there. Same town, same location, same fig tree. Now then, so he sees that fig tree, curses fig tree. Now then, go with me down to verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple. It's the next day, the third time. He went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, not written, my house shall be called of all nations, the house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. If we read part of the next verse, it says, and the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. It's really interesting. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, the lepers that nobody would hang around could come to him and he would put his hands on them and heal them. They brought him a woman taken into adultery. And he said, go and sin no more. He said, I do not condemn thee. They brought him people that were with demons inside of them, and he cast them out. They brought him the blind, and he gave them sight. They brought him the deaf, and he gave them hearing. He reached out to everybody except the religious people. Notice, he didn't go into crack house and start creating problems. He didn't go down to red light district and start creating problems. He went because it was religion that hated him. It was religion that screamed, crucify him. The drunks and the addicts weren't hollering at. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the high priest saying, crucify him. This man ought to die. That was their goal that we read just then. They went, how can we destroy this man? We want to get rid of him. Now let me say this. None of the drunks were over us taken up for him. Nor the drug addicts. Nor the others. But the very people that should have received him not. And so he went to those. And for years, I thought that anybody that got up and yelled and hollered about drinking and cussing and gambling and adultery and all of the things that it did were being mean to me. That's bad. Why you want to destroy my life? Why you want to mess up my entertainment? Until I realized that all of my entertainment was ending up pretty bad. Emergency room, booking, broken homes, another divorce, broken relationships, everything that's going bad. Jesus said you need to stop these things so you can have a good life. Not that you stop these things so you can have a boring life. Best life I've ever had. It's been the last 26 years driving into this town a drunk. And saying, Lord, I got no other place to go. I'm whipped. And the good thing, you know the good thing about being on bottom? Only one direction to go. That's the only one, man. You can go up. And here three times in the ministry of Jesus Christ, he went into their temple. It'd be like our churches. It'd be like our Bible schools. And just got rid of everybody that's trying to profit off of the common man. Yeah. And goodness, would he kill some TV programs? Man alive. Hey. I wonder what caused Jesus to go off like this. I wonder why he made a whip. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe our Lord would hit anybody with it. Well, I don't believe our Lord takes time to make one and not use it. Be my approach to it. I mean, he didn't waste time, you know. I wonder what caused him to disrupt the temple. He said, this is my Father's house. Why would he do that? If we were to keep reading after what we've read, we don't find him going somewhere and cooling off. We don't find him withdrawing and trying to get his head back together. He just goes right about His ministry, teaching and healing and helping people. See, God's nature is to be angry that anything it's against Him. That's just God's nature. Three things I want to give you real quick, and this will be short and brief about this. And I'm sure there's 100 lessons we can learn here. And I just don't have sense enough to get the other 97. So I'm just going to give you three. Okay? First one. Don't try to profit off God. There are people, we have a real misconception about living by faith. Living by faith doesn't mean that somebody else is supposed to take care of our financial situation. Living by faith means we'll do what God wants us to do. See, faith may ask what, faith may ask when, faith may ask where, faith may ask how, but it doesn't ask why. Don't try to profit off God. Number two, don't try to play with God. Let me break this down to you. We get in jail, we want a Bible, we want to do Bible studies. We leave jail, we leave our Bible and our Bible study. Well, I tell you what, this time I'm really going to serve God. Well, serve God and we'll see. Got a letter from my own grandson. He said, this time, Paw, he said, I'm going to do it right. I wrote him back and I said, we'll know that about a year from now, won't we? I hope he does. I want him to. I'm not mad at him, and neither am I happy with him. But it's heartbreaking when you see those you love just shoot themselves in the foot. I talking to a lady out of the jail now, and she's 50 years of age. And I've known her since she was 30. She's been in that jail more time than the sheriff. He's been through Save P and Clover House. But for the first time in my life, I've seen her seem to care. I always thought she's one of the hardest women I'd ever met. And for the first time, I've seen her sat across and tears coming. And another day, she said, Leland, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. Thank God you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Man. See, don't try to play with God. Don't grab your Bible study and say, look what I'm doing, God. Look here, God, here's what I'm doing. No, you can't play with Him. This is not a game. This is a life and death situation. It's heaven or hell. We get one chance. See, like I spoke to you a few weeks ago, Bible says appointed unto men once to die. You don't get to die and then try it again a few weeks later. Some of us live like, hey, if I don't get it right the first time, I've got another chance. Not in dying. Somebody said this, said if at first you don't succeed, I wouldn't try skydiving. Another guy told me, he said, you can skydive without a parachute. You just can't do it twice. Don't play with God. I believe this all my heart, and I hate to say this, but I believe that God, that you just get as wild as you want to get and smoke all the dope you want to smoke and shack up everybody you want to shack up with and steal everything you want to steal. And as long as you don't try to say, God led me to do it, I think you'll be better off than somebody that's sitting in church on Sunday and stealing on Monday. And I know people can steal more at the ballpoint than some of you can with 38. See? God said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. We got a bunch of lukewarm people. When we're in trouble, we're playing with God. Number one, don't try to profit off God. Number two, don't play with God. And number three, don't try to pretend with God. He knows our every thought. He sees us on the inside. He knows our hearts. We can't con Him. He knows. So don't try to pretend with Him. Now, I know this. I know some of you. Leland, you don't know how hard I've tried to quit smoking. You don't know how hard I've tried to quit drinking. You don't know how hard I've tried. And I know some of you have. I know. I did. But let me tell you, don't pretend with Him. Say, Lord, I can't do it. I've got to have some help. I've got to have some help. Run to Him. Depend on Him. Don't pretend with Him. Don't act like it's all right when it's not all right.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Hey, Lord, I'm getting my butt kicked. That's in the Greek here. I need some help. Don't pretend with Him. Get honest with Him. I've often wondered. The Bible said David's a man after God's own heart. If you want to read the life of a swinger, go read about David. Now let me tell you, David was something else. And it used to bother me. I thought, how in the world could God say this guy? David would kill you. David makes statements in the Bible that we won't read in mixed public. He does. David did things. Oh, let me tell you. And God said, this is a man after my own heart. Now you say, how? And after, I bought books on David, trying to get this to find out, you know, why does God call this a man after his own heart? And sometimes he's as rotten as anybody I've ever met. And the one thing, after reading this over, none of the books explained it either. So I kind of arrived at this, and maybe this is right, maybe it's wrong, but the one thing that David never did that I could find, David never said, I didn't do it. David never said, Pam did it. David never said, Doug did it. David never said, well, I was going to, and just got off on the wrong. David said, it's me. It's me. I did it. God wants somebody that'll just be honest with Him. Say, yes, Lord. Yeah, I blew it. Lord, I'm wrong. Yeah. See, Satan is the father of lies. Satan couldn't even tell the truth when he was trying to quote Scripture. But Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Have you been pretending? Have you been playing with God? You know, He knows. Nobody else in here probably knows. Maybe your friend does. I don't know. But you do, and God does. And you'd say tonight, Leland, I pretended to be a Christian. I've told people I was a Christian. But the truth of the matter is, if I were to die this very night, I wouldn't go to heaven. I'm lost. The truth of the matter is, I'm lost. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? I'm lost. Pray for me. Would you do it? I see your hand in the back. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'm lost. Would you pray for me? Now then, you're here and you've been saved. But your life is a long way from what it ought to be. I mean, it's not even close. You say, Leland, I've drifted away. I'm not happy. I'm miserable. God knows. Would you pray for me? I need some help. Would you slip your hand up? I see your hand. Yes, your hand. You slip them up. Slip it back down. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, I see yours and yours. Now, here's what I want you to do. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand while heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. And I'm going to ask you to come down here and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you lifted your hand and you've never been saved, I want you to come tonight and be saved. If you didn't lift your hand but you need to be saved, I want you to come. Those of you that lifted your hand that have wandered far away from Him, what I want you to do is for you to come and kneel at this altar. You and the Lord. And say, Lord, I want to mean business. I dare you to come down and pray. Lord, I want to mean business or take my life if I don't. That'll see if you really mean business. Let's stand our feet. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Would you come? Saved, and then what you can expect after being saved. Would you pick up one of those? They're free, and in the quietness of your room, you can sit down and take your Bible and see what God says, not what man says about it. So please do that. Thank you for being here. If we've got ice cream left, you're welcome to it. Our Father, thank you for those. Thank you for the decisions made tonight. You know whether they were real or not. Now, Father, bless your people. Help us to come together again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.